Studio 360.
One of the musical forms I like a lot is early music. I like medieval chants, Gregorian and otherwise, and later choral works like this from the Renaissance. This is called Spem in Allium, Latin for hope in any other, and it's by the English composer Thomas Tallis. It's a form of music called a 40-part motet, and it is one of the great choral works of the 1500s. It's also at the heart of this amazing 21st century art installation called 40-Part Motet that is by the sound artist Janet Cardiff. She uses pretty simple technology to radically change the way we perceive the music. She's presented it all over the world. Not so long ago, I experienced it and loved it at a chapel in the Cloisters, this little medieval-style museum of medieval art in New York City. WNYC's Jamie York also heard it there.
I'm here this morning by myself. Those voices that you're hearing are recorded. They're singers who are about to sing a piece of choral music. The music lasts 11 minutes, but Janet Cardiff's piece is a 14-minute loop. So the first 3 minutes are just this, people chatting before they start to sing.
As you enter the room, as you go in through the doors, then you see 40 black speaker stands with speakers on top of them.
Spaced evenly in a big oval, stand in the center, it sounds like this. Go up to any one of the speakers, and you can hear a voice.
Go quiet, fine.
Each individual speaker is an individual singer.
Cardiff recorded each of these singers on their own mic. If you put your ear to the speaker, it's like someone's mouth is directly beside your ear. You can hear somebody whispering. You can hear these kids talking about a watch.
I used to have that watch.
And you can even hear this guy talking about being hungover.
And so then you realize that, yeah, these are real people.
More than stereo headphones, more than IMAX, this is what it's really like to hear in a space.
I have a particular love of sound around me, being enveloped, I guess it is. It's sort of, a very sensual thing. It reproduces the way we really hear if you have stereo hearing, so that you can hear something to your left and hear something to your right. And that's a really primitive thing. It's why our ears are built the way they are, so that we can hear bears behind us and we know where the lion is that's coming.
Cardiff first heard this music on a CD somebody gave her.
Spem in Allium by Thomas Tallis. It's an amazing piece of music that has 40 different harmonies from around 1556. I put it on my stereo when I got home, and immediately I was infatuated with music, but at the same time I was totally frustrated because I wanted to hear the 40 different harmonies. I wanted to hear how they would go up and down and all around, and I just envisioned right away this choir around me. And I know that some choirs actually do the singing in the round, and that was one reason that I wanted to place it in an oval.
She called her piece the 40-Part Motet, and it was first installed in the U.S. in 2001 at a museum called PS1 in New York. Peter Ely is the curator there.
It's important, I think, to also consider the visual impact of what she designed, because the speakers themselves are installed at roughly head height. If you saw a single speaker alone, it might not occur to you that there's something inherently human-like about a speaker on a stand 5.5 feet off the ground. Once it dawns on you, and it does quite quickly, what's going on, you, in a sense, are looking at a room of 40 effigies for the singers themselves.
In some ways, those speakers are more like people than people are. I don't really ever get to hear a stranger breathe or to walk among a choir listening to the vulnerability of one person singing. It reminds me of this movie that was one of my favorites when I was a kid called Wings of Desire. I watched it and rewatched it. In the movie, angels walk unseen among the living in Berlin. There's a scene where the angels walk around a crowded library. They'll sidle up to somebody and hear his internal monologue, always insecurities, regrets, disappointments, desires. And then they somehow reassure him. Waking up every morning in New York City, I dream about doing that. Cardiff's piece gives me that intimacy with someone I don't know, who talks to me as though I'm not here.
The intimacy that you get from a person's voice, it feels like it's on the back of your neck. There's a sense of safety in technology, but at the same time, there's a sense of connection. You don't lose the connection of the human voice, but you get the safety of not having to stand right next to that person.
Janet Cardiff's husband, George Miller, wanted to know more about a singer he felt attached to. I think it's this man.
There's a bass that is George's favorite, and also one of my favorites, too. And then George just thought, oh, well, I'll check out his name on the internet, see what he's up to. And I found a funeral service for him. And so then I stood over by him in New York, and it just struck me in a completely different way.
Walking through the piece and hearing a variety of voices moving in and moving out gives me a feeling of place and of time that I really can't, I'm not sure if transcending is the right word. Maybe it's being in the piece at the moment.
I got a little teary.
I was a little bit uncomfortable.
What the work does, the position that it puts you in, is really one of a ghost.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like each one of the speakers is almost like a stand-in for a person, but in that way, you know, it felt kind of like a monument. There's this object, and there's the presence of the voice, but, you know, you can't connect or make eye contact with the person that's, you know, whose voice is filling the space.
And I think that's a huge part of what's unsettling and at the same time magical about the work, is that you can move through it unnoticed by the same people who otherwise would seem to be noticing you and yet aren't there.
It's not just the ghostliness of the piece. I think it also has to do with this beautiful music that comes entirely from bodies, fragile and ephemeral as we know they are. I've actually sung in choirs in the cathedral where this was recorded. And I know how transcendent it feels to be part of that larger, soaring sound. I also know how fleeting that feeling is, how quickly we return to struggling with our own imperfect line of notes, how often we go off key.
It's that those imperfect parts are very close to the imperfections we know and feel about ourselves.
Peter Ely, the curator from PS1.
The work becomes a shorthand for how we know the world to work. You have these things that we encounter in collective forms, whether it's going to the movies or a football game or voting, where we feel ourselves inscribed within the collective culture. And then at the same time, as we move about our lives on a given day, we mostly feel isolated from that.
We all experience this piece differently. We all know a desire for connection. And we all feel alone. I don't know of another work of art that conveys so well these essential aspects of being alive.
That's Jamie York. You can watch a performance of Thomas Tallis's Spem in Allium at studio360.org.